Mavana Chai Vireyoy Hashem Elokeinu Vachatov Vavoy Vlach Yadai Didi Didi Da 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 Da
Okay, no?
Yeah.
No, it was okay. Baruch Hashem, we're okay. So there's actually, maybe it works out well that there was no guitarist today because Moshe Rabbeinu's name is also hidden from the Parsha. So maybe our guitarist is also hidden from us as well. Before we get to the Torah, maybe what's Pshat? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu not in the Parsha? So there's a lot of different answers. Most of them I don't remember. There's one answer that always sticks out for me. And it's the answer of the Baal Term. Look in the whole every single time we're mentioned or introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu from the entire Torah, he's in every parsha from Shemos, most 99% until Vezos HaBracha. What is pshat with Tetzave? Moshe is nowhere to be found. Zero. Aaron is everywhere. Aaron and his sons are everywhere. So Baal Term has such an incredible insight. You know, some Torahs that just stick with you. Most Torah I forget. This one stuck with me the first time I heard it. So he says that in next week's parsha we know Moshe Rabbeinu defends Klal Yisrael, right? When they mess up at the Chedei Egel, they mess up, they make the golden calf, and he tells the Ribbono Shel Olam, "Mechinei na b'sifrecha, erase me from your book. If you're going to get rid of them, get rid of me. I'm nothing without them. And at the end of the day, I don't want to." Hashem says, "I'm going to give you a new nation." Moshe's like, "I don't want a new nation. Give me this nation, or take me out of your book." So we all know the story that Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael. But we know that a tzaddik's words, even when a tzaddik says something, Kodesh Baruch is mekayim, and the Gemara tells us in Maor Katan, every word that a tzaddik says, somehow, some way, it controls the Ribbono Shel Olam. When a tzaddik gives a bracha just for someone for children, or a tzaddik gives a bracha for this, for that, it brings down tremendous bracha from Hashem. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu got Klal Yisrael forgiven, Hashem had to take his word seriously. But Hashem said, I don't want to just take you out of Vayakel, right? The parsha after Kisi. He said, what did he do? In his great love, he says, I have to take your name out of one parsha. What am I going to do? I'm going to wait till the last parsha that I can't. So what does Hashem do? Kisi ends, Shemos ends, Vayakel Bechude, Vayikra ends, Bamidbar ends, Devarim ends, Bereishis ends. What's the last time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could wait until the last parsha that he could erase Moshe's name out of? It's the parsha before Kisi, which is Tetzaveh. And in Hashem's great love, he says, Moshe, you defended Klal Yisrael. You did the right thing. But because you said this, I still have to, somehow, some way, I still have to take you out. It wasn't a punishment. It was just showing, I think, for me, it just showed us the power of words. The power of everything that we say has a tremendous effect for positive and also for the opposite as well. Maybe this could really connect to the opening pasuk. Before we get there, our learning should be in Tzchus for Refuah Shlema, Baruch Tzibir, Rivka Bat, Yibasar, Shochar Yisrael, and for all Kaisel who need Yeshua Smamish Bezushim Mizbach. The opening pasuk, the Klal Yisrael Rebbe writes in 1980 of the Chus to learn the Rebbe's Torah. Opening pasuk on page number 1. Ata Tetzavis Bnei Yisrael V'yichu Yelecha Shem and Zayich Zach Chosus Lamor Lahalos Ner Tamin. And you shall command Klal Yisrael, right? You, not Moshe.
Yeah.
Didn't say Vaydabish Moshe. It says you. You shall command Klal Yisrael that they shall take some olive oil. They should pound it out, and they should use it for it to be able to go up constantly in front of me. Right? This is referring to the menorah. It's referring to the menorah. It says the Rebbe, it's actually referring to Klal Yisrael as well. The Medrash says, right, we're trying to stay on the same page, not getting off topic. Medrash Rabbah, Shenimso Yisrael Ezayis She'enu Motzi Yishmeno Elidei Chavata V'Kisisa. He says, Klal Yisrael is compared to an olive. What's with an olive? An olive, you have to pound out to get the oil. To pound it out. You really have to get a hammer down. Same thing with a Jew. to pound it out sometimes. Sometimes a person can be so lost, but his pneumius, his mom is screaming of a neshama. But the guf, sometimes the physical, all the gashmis, it's very hard to be able to get down. That's what Perm is all about. Perm is mamish getting, taking that physical, that gashmis, to get, there's an Indian to get drunk at Perm, to be able to lose our physicality, to just to express our true neshama, our true love for the Rabbonu Shalom. But if a person, Chas V'Shalom, uses yayin and doesn't express it in the ways, then it's not such a mitzvah. Not for now, not my time. Harem is bezeh. So how do you know Klai Yisrael is referred to an olive? Second line. Dimhu be'enav bari shlema kezayis, the cheshbo shlo nifka me'olam, as ina yochal hotzi shmeno lahir la'aretz v'ladrim. So the Jew has to view himself as if you're a kezayis of kezayis. Because if you view yourself as you're the man in charge, you're not going to feel anything. So the Rabbeinu Shlom says, I don't want anything to do with someone who's arrogant. Gemara says in Sotah, he says it right here. Anyone who feels like they're an arrogant person, or they're in charge of their life, or they're the one in control, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Zero. You don't realize that I'm in control. I don't have anything to do with you. One of the main things that some family members have an issue with, in my specific family, but I'm sure in other families as well, is when people are overly arrogant about their own accomplishments and their own this and own that. It's not all the Rabbeinu Shalom. People don't like being connected to people who are arrogant. It's just not it's a very distasteful midah. Umeila, ein diburav nechnasim b'libo hashoymim. So someone who learns, teaches Torah, someone who's trying to grow in their Yiddishkeit, at the end of the day, if they're arrogant, their Torah never gets through that. We were talking before, the Rebbeim that I connected to the most were the ones who were the most humble. It wasn't about their tosos, it was the ones who cared about me. They had the humility to come down from their high, holy, high chair, try to talk to me about my life. Like we were talking about my Rebbe in 10th grade, by Arya Cohn, who used to let me leave school early. Not signing out, probably nowadays probably can't do this with the signing out, but he used to let me leave school early to go to Madison Square Garden from Woodmere to take the train in, because he saw for me that it was more important in learning Torah at 5:20 on a school night, Tanka. It was more important for me to go to the Ranger game. You have to have a certain anava, certain humility about yourself. So when someone is truly humble, then other people want to come close to them. Moshe Rabbeinu, why was Moshe Rabbeinu? He was Moshe Rabbeinu. Why was he Moshe Anami called him? He wasn't the only one who got the Torah. He was the one who got the Torah because he was the most humble. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gave the Torah to the people who are the most humble. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives the Yeshuas, he only gives the people the spirituality, the Kedusha, the Tahara, for the people who view him as the one in charge. I know the days that I have good days in school, and the days where I just like, Hashem, there's so much going on today, I cannot do without you. Those are my best days. Yeah. The days where I forget to make that tefillah, those are my hardest days, because I feel like I'm in control.
Yeah.
You're not in control. And I just I should put like a reminder in my phone before I go into school and just say like, when that kid makes a stupid comment, like, don't get aggravated. Just realize everything's from the Rabbeinu Shalom. Some days I'm good, some days I'm not about it. But the days that I realize I'm not in control, those are the much better days. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble. Moshe Rabbeinu's yartzeit was this week, Zayin Adar. That's why I want to talk about this. But the midah of Anova, because Moshe Anova, he called him, his number one quality was humility. Because he's the most humble, he's now able to talk about his humility. Not in an arrogant way. It's because he's so sincere about it. Right? So this is exactly, when someone's genuine about something, it's going to penetrate someone else.
Yeah.
Right? If you're echad b'lev, echad b'peh, if you're sincere in your heart and sincere in your head, and your head and your heart is the same thing, then it's going to be able to penetrate others. If you're talking about humility, but you're arrogant at home, or you're arrogant at work, no one wants to hear that. Look at the pasuk. It says, Moshe is telling me, be an olive. Just like an olive, you have to pound it out to get what's inside. You have to pound it out. But sometimes to know that you have to, there is something there. Every Jew has to know that we're just an olive. The Rabbeinu Shem controls the world. That's exactly what the pasuk says. So Moshe, command Klai Yisrael about your midah. Because you're so genuine, you're in humility, you can now tell Klai Yisrael all about it. And I saw this actually about Moshe Feinstein as well. Moshe Feinstein, you know, his Yahrzeit's coming up next week. Moshe was the Posseg HaDor in America for the 20th century in Manhattan. And I don't know, sometimes Rabbi Hashem just sent, I learned the Darsh Moshe, and I look at his tshuvas here and there, but something got me to like look at a story, and I gave it to you on page 2 over here. A gentleman from northern New Jersey started to become observant when he was past the age of 60. 60 years old, pretty crazy. He told a friend that he felt despondent because when his time was over, he would have to face the heavenly court, Beis Din Shamayim, without having amassed any Torah knowledge. The friend suggested he drive to the yeshiva of Staten Island from time to time. Surely one of the students would be glad to teach him. And so it was. He went to the yeshiva once a week for an hour of learning. It came very hard to him because he had no Torah background. It was not an intellectual bent. However, after 4 years, he glowed with pride, having mastered his first blot Gemara, his first page of Gemara. One of the students told the story to Moshe, who said that for this man, a single blot, a single page of Gemara, was as much of an accomplishment as for a scholar to complete an entire tractate, entire Masechta. Rosh Yeshiva asked the Talmidim to celebrate the occasion with a Suda's Mitzvah, which he too would attend. The Suda was festive indeed, with Moshe adding his own words of blessing and congratulations. With tears in his eyes, the guest of honor rose to thank everyone for making his life so much more meaningful. He said, "Now I'm not afraid to die anymore." Only someone who is so sincere, Moshe Feinstein, living. He was a living Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Feinstein had the Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula, on his fingertips, in his head, in his fingers, in his legs. He was completely Torah. Just he knew everything. But for him to realize that this Jew, who needed to hear just that one page of Gemara, was such a super, super incredible feat, that is someone who's truly genuine. Yeah. And that penetrated others. Look at the footnote on the bottom over here. Some of Ramosha's other children, namely his Talmidim, had their own way of marking his birthday. For a number of years, a group of students from Yeshiva of Staten Island would travel to the east side on the 7th of Adar to present Ramosha with a lucif containing their Chidushei Torah, written by the Yeshiva's Talmidim. Ramosha would glowingly accept this unique gift and leaf through the entire collection in the presence of the Talmidim. Right? We know Zion Adar was Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site. So they would bring Ramosha like special Torah. You don't think Ramosha knew this Chidushei Torah? Of course he knew. But he gave his time. Like, there's another story about Ramosha. Someone used to call Ramosha crazy. There's a woman who used to call Ramosha every year of Shabbos to ask him when Shabbos is. Like, hello, just like, look at your calendar.
Yeah.
Like, if someone called me, I would be like, okay, like, my Zmanim, check it up online. And every Erev Shabbos, Ramosha would answer the phone with the same patience, the same anava, with the same humility. Well, Shabbos this week in New York, in the city, this and this. Can you imagine such patience and such humility? It's otherworldly. Another story about Ramosha, and then we'll end with one last story. Just because I needed to talk about Ramosha, just because there's Ramosha being his Yahrzeit, and Ramosha finds his Yahrzeit next week. Say story about Moshe that he was being driven by a driver, maybe one of his Talmidim. And when he was leaving the car, and Rav Moshe was getting out, Rav Moshe was very short, but he's like maybe 5 feet, maybe. And when he's getting out, the person who was driving, he closed the door on Rav Moshe's hand. That was crazy. Rav Moshe didn't flinch. Only until his Talmid or the person who drove him. And he got him back into his apartment. And Moshe, like, and they asked him, like, what's pshat? Like, how are we able to do that? He said, how am I supposed to embarrass my Talmud? Like, you know how much that would hurt him. You're talking about something otherworldly. You know, like his neshama was in control of his guf. His guf wasn't in control of his neshama. His guf was pasha controlled by his neshama. His body was controlled by his soul. That's the only way that someone who could have his car, his door of his car slammed his hands. The only way. It's the only way that little Zayas was burning with fire, that his neshama was burning with fire of humility. That's the whole essence of Purim. The whole essence of Purim is to realize that Rabbeinu Shem is in charge of everything. Right? To realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is behind the scenes and everything. And Amalek is Ram. Amalek is Gematria 240. He's high. He thinks that he's in control. The whole avodah of the Megillah, the whole avodah of Purim is to realize that Rabbeinu Shem is in control. Kadosh Baruch Hu controls everything. Story goes, and this is what we'll close with for tonight. I just want to read it because it's so beautiful. Rabbi Shlomo Feifeld writes in his Sefer, if you ever want a good biography to get inspired, usually rabbi books, biographies, I don't like, because they usually make me feel bad about myself, just to push it. But there are a few of them that make me feel humble, or this is like someone who like is so sincere, so genuine. So this is one of them. Shlomer Feifeld, he was the founding Rosh Hashiva in Shayashev. Moshe Feinstein once visited Yeshiva Shayashev to serve as sandik at a bris milah. It was a family simcha, so he was accompanied by his rebbetzin. After the bris, they were escorted back to his car by the entire yeshiva. Can you imagine the entire yeshiva escorted Rav Moshe back? The bachram opened the front port, the front passenger door of the car for Rav Moshe and cleared the way to the car. And the rebbetzin would sit in the back. Rav Moshe surprised them, however, and went around the car to sit next to his rebbetzin in the back seat. Afterwards, Rav Shlomo announced that there would be a shmuz in the base midrash, and within minutes, it was full. He strode in and reviewed the episode of Rav Moshe that they had just witnessed, delivering an impassioned shmuz about what it means to care about someone else. He wanted them to immediately internalize the lesson. Rav Moshe said, I'm going to sit in the back with my wife. You know what it means to care about someone else? To live for someone else? Rav Moshe knew his Torah. He also understood his place. Understood that at the end of the day, humility, to be sincere and genuine, to realize that Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. And every time you have that little voice in your head and say, look at me, look at my wallet, look at my Torah, look at my doctors and my medicine and my this, that's all the Yitzhahara. To realize that we're only here, we are messengers from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Being humble, by the way, is not feeling like you're nothing. Being humble is realizing you have talents. If you have talents in business, you have a talent in to be a doctor, you have a talent to teach Torah. To realize your talents, but to realize who they come from. That's a true another. True humility is realizing who you have. You don't think Moshe Rabbeinu knew who he was? That's what true humility is, to know that where your kochos come from. To remember this Torah from the Klezmer Rebbe. Shem is Zayach to be sincere. When we're sincere, we'll be able to inspire others to be sincere. And Bezer Shem, if we do this, we'll take these stories from Moshe Feinstein. Bezer Shem, it will be Zochah to be more like Moshe Rabbeinu and more like Moshe. It will be Zochah to be with them together in Yerushalayim.
Could we dedicate our learning that we just did to the soul of Rivka bat Isaac Maimon?
Rivka bat Isaac Maimon. As the Shem Sparach, she had a tremendous aliyah. Tremendous aliyah in Shemayim, as the Shem Sparach. Shkoyach. We'll do a last niggin. Good Shabbos, good Purim.